mentioned it earlier, goes to the Belfast Telegraph. It is a superb aerial photo of Belfast last night in the traffic chaos. And it just looks like fairy lights all being laid out in a nice design. And you're about to lift them off the ground and hang them up on your Christmas tree. That's what the cars all look like from this particular helicopter shot, or indeed drone shot that is featured in the newspaper. All the little cars down below there, the yellows, the reds, the blues, the greens, twinkling as they go along past City Quays and out onto the main arterial routes of the M1 and M2 and Westlink. And you wonder, where on earth's all this traffic coming from, and why is it building up? Is it because of Kevin Bridges? He's sold out the Odyssey all these nights and people want to go, and probably everyone who goes to see Kevin Bridges probably has a car, and a lot of vehicles are on the road, and then there's Christmas shopping starting, there's commuters trying to get home from their work, etc., etc. Or is it just the bus lanes and the gliders that are to blame? Let me speak to roads writer and traffic guru Wesley Johnson. Wesley, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
I'm very well, Wesley. Why is the city gridlocked this last few nights?
Yes, well, I mean, you were talking about the photos there. They're pretty to look at from up above, but not so pretty to be in, I'm sure. The city's roads, as everyone knows, operate at capacity in rush hour. So even the slightest little thing can be enough to just snarl everything off. Yesterday, yes, there was the concert at the Odyssey, Kevin Bridges, but there was also two crashes on the M1, one just under Broadway roundabout and another one on down a wee bit. And the M1 Westlink, M2, M3, they're the busiest roads in Northern Ireland, and you block one lane, very quickly snarls up. Combined with, yes, the people still getting used to the new bus lanes, the concert, and of course the dark nights, just as a recipe for all this to happen.
I was driving along the Westlink last night in the other direction, out of town, and I saw the large broken down lorry that was causing some difficulties. We have an infrastructure set up here that it takes very little, as you've suggested, to block us. And it people, you know, some of them are impatient, some are well-mannered and will wait. But if you're, you know, if you've spent maybe 40 or 50 quid on a concert ticket and you're sitting in the traffic and the main act is about to go on stage, frustration does set in.
Oh, definitely, yes. And the location of the concert as well, you know, right off the M3, you know, you've got all the commuter traffic plus the traffic for the concert, all trying to use a very limited bit of road space. And as you say, yes, in Belfast, all through traffic pretty much has to go down that one corridor down the Westlink. You know, it's just a, you know, it's a, all our eggs are in one basket, so to speak.
Where are we with Yorkgate? Is that going to happen or is that not going to happen? I lose
track.
Oh,
Yorkgate. Yorkgate, there was a legal challenge by one of the contractors who didn't win the contract, and they won that legal challenge, so the contract might have to re-tender again. It has got cash under the DUP Tory pact, but we don't know how long that's going to last for. So if, you know, by the time they get a contractor appointed, that pact no longer exists, then the money will disappear again, so then it'll be back down to whoever's in charge at that point to decide what happens after that. So, you know, I'm not holding my breath for that to happen anytime soon.
How relevant are the bus lanes to those pictures in that paper this morning?
Well, the bus lanes have been in now properly for a bit over 2 months, so people are still getting used to them. In particular, we know there's been quite specific issues on the Queen's Road part of Titanic Quarter, which still have to be solved. So, you know, it's not irrelevant. At the same time, the bus lanes are there every night, and last night was particularly bad, so it can't be just the bus lanes. I think we need to give the bus lanes, you know, a few months to bed in before being able to draw conclusions as to how successful they've been.
Will we ever get to a point where people from down the country, so to speak, who want to see Kevin Bridges or other attractions at the SSE Arena don't all individually take a car, or maybe husband and wife take a car? You know, everybody's taking a car to go to the Odyssey. Will we ever get, you know, the mindset that convinces us to use public transport to go to a concert?
Yeah, well, I mean, the road system in Northern Ireland, or the transport system, I should say, in Northern Ireland has been built around the car since, you know, the 1950s, so it's not unreasonable that people travel around by cars. But yes, so therefore it's going to be a, you know, a big change of mindset to let that happen. But, you know, if you were coming from, say, Oma, and you were going to the SSE arena, there's really few options. You know, if you get a bus, it's going to leave you, you know, at the Europa. You know, still got a wee bit of a journey to go after that. You know, there's still not a lot that's as convenient as the car, even with that congestion at the very end of your journey. So I think, you know, it'll take a bit longer.
Now, you have your eye on roads generally, Wesley, and I know there's a major infrastructure change about to happen in Newry to alleviate the problems there coming off the Warren Point Road towards the Warren Point side of Newry to allow the traffic to go up onto the main Dublin Road without going through the city. What about the likes of Newry, Armagh, Enniskillen, Derry? Are they all having more and more difficulty with the build-up and congestion?
Well, traffic levels in Northern Ireland are increasing. There's various reasons for that. The biggest single reason is population increase. So every year there's more and more pressure on the roads. So there are towns that are very congested. You know, you mentioned Enniskillen there, Newry, also places like Cookstown, you know, and the road to Derry, that whole road, you know, more and more of a bottleneck. And there's a very limited pot of cash and also nobody in charge. So you can see the challenge, you know, is, even if you did have somebody in charge, you still wouldn't have enough money to do everything. It's a juggling job.
So the argument from the Green lobby that we got to stop the love affair with motorised transport, when you factor in the environment as well, we need to listen to that, don't we?
Oh, we do, yes, absolutely. I think you have to differentiate between different types of traffic as well. For example, bringing private cars into the centre of large cities is not sustainable, you know, and we shouldn't really be building roads that encourage people to do that. At the same time, you know, I have no difficulty with improving the roads across country between cities like Belfast and Derry, you know, to improve safety, make the journeys more reliable and help economics. And, you know, so I think there's an argument for both. But yes, you can't just ignore that. No, it's a very valid consideration.
And the Dungiven bypass, it's more or less started, hasn't it?
Yes, it's part of a wider scheme to dual the road all the way from Drumahoe to Dungiven. Yes, it's the last town on the Belfast Derry route that doesn't have a bypass, so it'll be very welcome, I'm sure, for the people who have to breathe the air down the main street of Dungiven.
Totally.
People will have to wait, you know, 2 or 3 years before it's finished, but, you know, the shovels are there, so, you know, it's in progress.
Lovely job, Wesley. Thank you very much indeed. Wesley Johnson, expert on the roads, writing about it regularly. And thank you very much for your input to the programme. I mentioned Dungiven because it is one of the biggest projects. I have a personal interest. I've said this before. Every lorry driving between Derry and Belfast for the last 60 years has gone past the bottom of my mother-in-law's bed. So she will be delighted when that bypass finally comes into play. You won off. John is on line four. Good morning, John.
Hello, Frank. Part of the problem in Belfast is everyone starts at the one time or leaves at the one time. Why don't they stagger the times like the SSE Arena? Why don't they start half an hour later?
Yeah, I suppose the concerts all seem to be roughly, what time are they, all at 7:30 or 8:00? People arrive early to get a car parking space, but don't they?
Yeah, but if they were starting later, they would arrive later.
Yeah, then, you know, if you're coming from up the country to see the likes of Kevin Bridges, are you going to be going home very late? There is a sort of an expected time of 8:00, isn't there?
If you're going, you know, if you're going from our own house here to there, well, you're going to have to leave an hour before it anyway. So half an hour, you're not going to make much difference.
Yeah, the staggering of times, maybe it's a suggestion. Do you think it's mainly down to the success of some attractions at the arena? Is that the main reason the city comes to a standstill whenever one lorry breaks down or there's a prang on the motorway?
I'm going to tell you something that maybe, you know, way out here, what we think is everything's in Belfast. Not everything has to be in Belfast. Why don't you build it out someplace else?
I remember
why not be all in there? Why not? This is going back to the same thing that they're talking about, the football ground and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything's in the one wee corner and the rest of Northern Ireland forgot about.
I was going to say, do you remember they tried to do that out at the Maze and then they realised that they'll have none of it? But, you know, maybe...
Yeah, because those people, small-minded people.
it's hard to argue with it, John, when you see everything bottlenecking in the city. John, thank you. Thank you indeed. Small-minded planning. Everything stuck in a corner of Belfast. Billy has a point. Of course, there is this ongoing development at the Maze that may eventually turn out to be the best place for concerts. Billy has a point. Good morning, Billy.
Good morning.
Yeah, so what's on your mind, Billy?
Well, I suggest that they opened four little roads from the congestion is between 7 or 8, or from 8 to 9. Why don't they just open the Upper Newton Arch Road, or Newton Arch Road, Albert Bridge Road, and Elmore Road, Ravenhill Road, from between 8 and 9? That'll take all the traffic away for easy. And then after.
Well, what do you mean, open the roads? The roads are open.
Open the bus lane.
Oh, the bus lanes. Oh, yes. Cancel the bus lane.
8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. You see, that's the whole problem. The bus lane is building up, and I've come down Century Road loads of times, and all there's traffic right from the very bottom of Century Road, right on past the upper Century Road. And the bus lanes, there must be, one, maybe possibly two buses going down there within 20 minutes.
Are you talking about, hold on, Billy, are you talking about in the mornings or the evenings? We're talking about the congestion in the evenings. Are you looking for the bus lanes to be cancelled in the mornings or for people coming away from concerts?
Well, I was suggesting that it would be the congestion in the evening as well. But there's always congestion going out of town and going up our Newton Arch Road and the...
But I don't think there are 24-hour bus lanes up there.
Yeah, but then the thing is that if there's a whole lot of traffic at one time, why not just open the bus lanes for that 1 hour?
Yeah, but I don't think the bus lanes, are in play at 7 or 8 o'clock in the evening.
Well, 7 o'clock to 7 o'clock... Well, suggesting that the bus lanes at an earlier time gets opened to take away the traffic.
Okay. Is there an argument in that for, I'm not sure if the bus lane times, but if Billy's suggesting that we do away on a busy night whenever the traffic is absolutely chock-a-block, if they forgot about the bus lanes and allowed everyone to drive in them, would the traffic get out of town quicker? And if it is a 7 a.m. to 7 p.m, he has a point, because it's chocker at 5:30, 6 o'clock. So if they did away with the bus lanes out of town at night, would that actually ease up the problem and allow people to get home quicker? Or does it totally undo the concept of trying to encourage people to go on the blimmin' bus? Because after all, Kevin Bridges goes on the bus.
At the bus stop, waiting on a bus, two people sat beside me. They were doing something similar, and everybody was having a good time. Sounds a bit far-fetched, but it's based on a true story. So everyone's there getting their bus stop on when a friendly madman showed up. A guy, he was across the road, and he shouted, "Hoi, you! Hoi, you! I, you!" And the guy said, "Fat boy, give me a quid, or you're getting stabbed." I thought, a quid? That was quite reasonable. Panic over. I mean, I've never been stabbed, right, but I can imagine it'd be somewhat inconvenient. Maybe even put a dampener on your evening, right? You'd be covered in blood, you'd need to go to a hospital to get stitches, you'd be physically and emotionally traumatised. And here, we've got a gentleman offering me the chance to bypass such a horrendous ordeal in this current financial climate for a mere pound. Now I'm a sucker for a bargain. So
he has a great way of looking at life. That is Kevin Bridges. He's the reason the traffic's gridlock. Alan's got a point to make about the travel. Good morning, Alan.
All right, Frank, what about you?
I am very good, Alan. What's your cure for the gridlock?
Oh, well, Frank, now, we've had this discussion many a time before. You know I'm a taxi driver.
Oh, right, you're one of the taxi men. I didn't put two and two together there, Alan. So tell me, what? Pour your wisdom upon me.
Just hang on now.
It's a way to get a fare.
You'll be trying to say something smart, then cut me off, Frank, all right?
No, I'm trying to get you to make your point.
We spoke back in September about these things, and your words were, look, give these bus lanes a chance and these new gliders and all that sort of thing, all right? I actually get fed up and actually stopped listening to your show for a while because it wasn't real. It was like a bubble, this wee world Frank lives in. It wasn't the real world. So, with the congestion now, TransLink wanted people to leave their cars at home and get on one of these buses, right? That worked for a wee while. And now the weather's bad, people are refusing to stand in the cold mornings, and rightly so, they'll take their cars now. So, now I want to ask you, and it's just a straightforward yes or no question. Do you see that these bus lanes are not working? Yes or no?
I'm not in a position to pass comment because I am sitting in the rarefied atmosphere of City Keys 2 from 7:30 in the morning to 7:00 at night. I don't experience any delays at all because I come in really early and I go home really, really late. So I can't pass judgment.
Right. Well, that's fair enough. Did you see the picture on one of them newspapers today? From the aerial shot someone shot about the congestion in Belfast.
This is what we're talking about, yeah.
Now, that's what I'm saying. So I'm asking you, and I'm not asking you as a DJ or whatever it is you are. I'm asking you as a man-to-man, el mano, el mano. Do you think these bus lanes are still a good idea?
Well, I'll throw that out to the el manos and el womanos who are listening to the programme. Do you think the bus lanes are to blame for the gridlock that is so well shown there in that aerial photograph on the front of the Belfast Telegraph? Or is it, as I've suggested, Kevin Bridges' fault for being so popular and stuffing the SSE arena every night this week? 0289 033 105. Alan's a campaigner to do away with bus lanes, obviously. But we have to, I suppose, break the eggs to make the omelets. Or does he have a very good point that now the wet cold evenings are in, the glider lanes, the bus lanes are proving a disaster? 0289 033 105. Ronnie's got a point. Good morning, Ronnie.
Hello, Frank, how are you?
I'm very well, Ronnie.
Good. Frank, I'm wondering if you can solve a wee conundrum for me. I've been down in Belfast the last couple of evenings there in the rush hour, and I've noticed, not only over the last couple of evenings, but in general, the gliders, quite a lot of the gliders are moving around both central Belfast and on the outskirts, like Derriachie and so forth, heading up McKinstry Road, with not in service signs up and no passengers on board. And my wife and I got stuck in the traffic on Tuesday evening coming from the Twilight Market at St. George's, and we noticed no fewer than 6 buses. It was a couple of gliders and maybe 4 single-decker ordinary buses with not-in-service signs up. And we also observed loads of people standing in central Belfast queuing to try and get onto a bus, to go wherever. I'm just wondering, I've tried to find out, I put a thing on Facebook, but I got no response. Would you have any knowledge of why, or could you speak to someone? Maybe I should be speaking to TransLink. Why these buses move around with not in service signs up?
Hold on. If you get to the end of the question, I will answer it for you. I will tell you why.
Sure.
Why we've had TransLink on the program before, and the reason you see the gliders driving about, including on the motorway, with not in service on them, is they're repositioning the glider bus to be at the start or end of the journey. Because you might have 3 gliders sitting in Twinbrook and no gliders sitting down at Titanic. So you got to have an equal number of gliders sitting in the docks area of the city, sitting in the Dundonald area, sitting in the Twinbrook area, to make the system keep going round and round and round. If you've got all of them in West Belfast, then the facility isn't going to, the service isn't going to work. So they move the gliders about and they put not in service so as they can move them about a lot quicker than having them stop and start at every stop.
Frank, thank you very much. I'll be able to get a good night's sleep tonight now, possibly after that explanation.
Good man. I'm glad to be of service. Oh, dear, oh. I'm becoming an authority on gliders now. 02890 333 105.